I don't want to spend my time here talking about introductions and thank yous and things like that. I have tremendous hakaras tov to SKA, to Ms. Kamnesky, and to the entire community for the last 10 years of coming out before Pesach, my dream to change the tide of Pesach night and to push it in the right direction of parents teaching children and not children teaching parents. And the Haggadah is just hopefully the first step in continued learning and continued growth and continued dedication to be mechanech our children. And I thank the community, I thank SKA, I thank the people who bought the Haggadah, I thank the people who will buy the Haggadah, to spread it, to bring it, whether you're leading your own Seder or people who will be leading a Seder, because we'll talk about the Haggadah just for a second in a moment, but, I feel that there's something very special there, and I feel that there's something worthwhile in there that is different than what's out there. The Haggadah itself is a guide for any leader of any Seder or anyone who wants to learn at the Seder about how to teach the main text of the Haggadah. Bekitzer, we often spend too much time on the wrong parts of the Seder, and everyone is tired and annoyed by the end of the night. All the stuff in the beginning that we spend a lot of time on, about the rabbis in Bnei Brak and the Manishtana and the four sons, those are all a preamble to the main story. They're all an introduction to get you to where you need to be, which is the telling of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to impart to our children and our families emuna and bitachon in Hashem. That is the whole show. And everything else is literally commentary. And the Haggadah is designed to put us in that mindset, to put us in that focus, in order to be able to have the tools able to be able to teach and be able to share with Chazal and Torah Shebaal Peh. And all of those things are designed, hopefully meticulously in a way, be able to impart it and to be able to empower the teachers at the Seder, which are the parents and the adults and the older people there, to be able to empower them to have the tools at their fingertips to be able to explain, to clarify, and to make sense of the remarkable, remarkable instrument given to us by Chazal, which is known as the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And my hope is that the Haggadah becomes a tool, something that people return to again and again. People should buy many, many Haggadahs. I'm not saying this is the last Haggadah you're ever going to buy. But I do hope it is the Haggadah that people return to, that they read and they teach from their Seder. Buy the Haggadah from that rabbi and this Rebbe over there and use all those things. But take those ideas and put them into this Haggadah, hopefully, and this should be the source that you continue to teach from, you continue to impart to your families. Let's begin. As Mrs. Kamnesky already gave away the ending, I have an affinity for the end of the Seder, because the end of the Seder is often abandoned and not cared for. It happens to be that there's the appendix in the Haggadah is a collection of the last 8 years of Divrei Torah and Nirtzu, we said here in SKA. So if you miss something or you want everything I said, everything is there in the appendix in the back. Every single idea I've ever said in Halal Nirtza is there in the back of the Haggadah. Let's begin with Halal. I picked up a Haggadah this year in the Sfarim store, which is remarkable. I came across an amazing, amazing Haggadah that I had not seen a new, profound, different approach with new ideas in a very long time. It is the Haggadah Shel Pesach Mishulchan Rabbeinu Eliyahu Baruch Finkel. Rabbi Eliyahu Baruch Finkel was a Rebbe, a Rosh Yeshiva, and a Magid Shir in the Mir Yeshiva. And he was a remarkable Talmud Chacham and a tremendous heart, a tremendous koach, who unfortunately passed away at a relatively young age. When I was learning in the Mir, I can't say I had a kesher with him, but he knew that I was American Bachar, and he would ask me who I was and what I was learning, and he would catch up with me, and there was two Rosh Yeshiva saying Kaddish that year at the same time, and Rav Eliyahu Baruch did not want to go against the other senior Rosh Yeshiva for the Amud, so he made a private mincha minyan for himself in his room, in his shirum, so it would not be a contradiction to the other Rosh Yeshiva. And I would daven in Rav Eliyahu Baruch's minyan, and to this day, and it's been We're talking, you know, almost 20 years since I davened in that Mincha Binyan. In my own personal Shemoneh Esrei, I still inflect and I still emphasize certain words because of the way he davened Chazaras HaShatz. That was the impact that davening in his Mincha had on me, that I still pronounce and I still emphasize certain aspects because of Rav Elio Baruch Finkel. He has amazing pieces there, beautiful, beautiful ideas, but his pieces on Hallel are Hafla V'Fela, they are Kodesh Kodashim. Beautiful insights into Hallel to really open up what Hallel is teaching us and what Hallel wants us to understand. So let's pick out a famous line from Hallel. Tzara v'yagon emsa uv'shem Hashem ekra, ana Hashem malta nafshi. Tzar, I find pain, I find groaning, I find moaning, uv'shem Hashem ekra, but I call out to Hashem. Says Rav Elio Baruch Finkel, that the Pashup Shat is, Uvashem Hashem Ekra. It's an expression, Hashem, take me out of this pain. I'm in a painful situation. I have Tsar, I have Yagon. Please remove me from this situation. But the Pasuk concludes, An Hashem Altanashi, save me from this situation. But he says, if you look at the Rishonim, you look at Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva, they explain that the expression is not, Uvashem Hashem Ekra, I call out to Hashem to stop my suffering. Uvashem Hashem Ekra, to thank Hashem for the situation that he has put me in. He proves this because the other place this line occurs is a few psukim before. Kos Yeshua Sasa, Uvashem Hashem Ekra. My cup is overflowing and I raise it up to God and therefore I call out to Hashem. It's clear, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Uvashem Hashem Ekra is a positive expression. I'm calling out for good things. The Chovas HaLevavos writes the same thing in Shaar Bitachon. The two psukim mean the same thing. I call out to Hashem to thank him for the good, and I call out to Hashem to thank him even when things are not so good. The source of this idea is a Gemara in Brachos that many of you know. It says the Gemara Chayiv Levarach Al Hara, Kishem Shem Mevarach Al Hatova. A person is chayiv to make a bracha on the good things in their life with the same kavan and the same intensity that one would make a bracha on the challenging things they come across. According to one Tana, the source is our pasuk. Tsar v'yagon emtza v'shem Hashem ekra. I find pain, but I call out to Hashem to thank him. Kos Yeshua sasa uv'shem Hashem ekra. Things are wonderful, and I also call out to Hashem to thank him. And therefore, the calling out during the tsar is not a request for Yeshua, but an expression of thanks to Hashem. What we learn, says Rav Elio Baruch, is that a person should thank Hashem for the yisurim and the challenges that he gets. Tsar v'yagon emtza. I come across painful and challenging and dark times, and therefore, uv'shem Hashem ekra. When a person is challenged by Hashem to improve themselves, to raise yourself up, to find something inside you did not know that you contained before, so that is a time to rejoice. That is a time to lift oneself up. The yisurim are certainly a form of kapara, and they should bring us closer to Hashem. Listen to a line that Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva. This should be on a bumper sticker. V'yesh al haboteach b'shem lahochil b'ma'uf tzukaso ki ha'choshech si basa'ora. And the one who trusts in God should hold on during the vision of distress, for from the darkness will be the cause of light. Therefore, David HaMelech is teaching us that all challenges, besides for the kapara that comes with it, can ultimately raise our avodas Hashem, and therefore we should thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sara v'yagon emsa, and therefore uv'shem Hashem ekra. Let's move on. Aziva zimraska vayehi li lishua. I sing out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this will lead to my Yeshua. So says Rav Elio Baruch that the Targum on that pasuk, which also appears in Shiras Hayam and Shmos, says that v'zimras means the person sings a song to Hashem, and then the Yeshua comes. Now, if I was writing Tehillim, which I didn't, I would have reversed it. I would have said first that Vayihil Yeshua, when the Yeshua comes, then Aziva Zimraska, then I call out to Hashem. It's backwards. The Yeshua comes first, and then I call out to Hashem to thank him. So he cites a Rashi in Shir HaShirim. Rashi in the second paragraph of Shir HaShirim is all about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in and saved us. This is the Pasuk, that this I think is a song as well that many people know. And Rashi explains as follows. Hanitzanim niru ba'aretz, that the blossoms have appeared in the land, meaning the days of the summer are near. When the tree blossoms, come out and they begin to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eis HaZamir Higia. And also it's the time of singing. The birds in the springtime come out with their songs and the sound is pleasant for everyone to hear. V'kol HaTur Nishma B'Arzenu. And the voice of the doves is heard in our land. And then says Rashi, it is the minag of vegetation, it is the minag of creation to sing out to Hashem in the spring. We all know what that sounds like, right? We feel the spring energy, we feel the warmth, we sing out to HaKadosh Baruch when we go down the street. It is customary in the time of Nisan. Explains from Rashi here that Nisan is a time where the whole world sings out to Hashem. People have a bounce in their step, the birds are chirping, the flowers are blooming. The whole world sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the spring. We all feel it. We all know it. Spring is a time where we feel besimcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says Rav Elio Baruch Finkel, the reason why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, this is how he understands Rashi, the reason why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in Nisan is because it was a time that was ripe for praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the reason this tekufa was chosen is because we're supposed to be praising Hashem. And Hashem said, there's no better time for a Yeshua than the springtime. Because the springtime is when we're already naturally praising Hashem in creation. He says, this is why the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, B'Nisan Nigalu Avoseinu, U'V'Nisan Asidim L'Hidayel. In Nisan, our forefathers are redeemed, and in Nisan, we will be redeemed as well. What Chazal like calling the basketball game, it's going to be 94 to 93. It's going to end, you know, in the last 2 minutes. What are they predicting over here? He says it's not a prediction. It's a fact of life. Hashem brings Yeshua in the spring and by Nisan. Because we already need to be primed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Hashem does things for us in the spring in order to draw out the praise that is already fitting for this time of the year. This is in line with the idea of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in the Gemara in Brachos, Zoveach Todah Yechabdeni, V'sam Derech Arenu, B'yesh Elohim. That the one who brings a Korban Todah honors Hashem, and then Hashem says, I'll show him salvation. Meaning the person is moded to a Kadosh Baruch for the good that he has, and if you thank Hashem what you have, then Hashem will pave a path for Yeshua and Chasadim. Based on this, Aziv Zimras Ka Vayhi Lishua. If before the Yeshua comes, I can get up and praise Hashem for what I have, and I can appreciate the goodness in my life that Hashem has already given me, so then, Vayhi Yeshua, then Yeshua will come. But before the Yeshua comes, you need to know that the whole purpose of the Yeshua is to praise Hashem. When Hashem steps in and lifts you out, it's because He wants there to be Megalik Kvod Shemayim, to reveal Hashem's presence in the world. And that's why the Yeshua is going to come. Praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the best time to ask for a Yeshua. And that's why it's smack here in the middle of Hallel. Okay, let's move on to another piece. Let's move on to the piyut, Uv'v'chein v'hi b'chatzi ha'layla. And it happened at midnight on Pesach. This is probably the fastest said piyut on Pesach night, because nobody has any idea why it's being said, and it doesn't have a very good tune, and therefore we want to get to Chagag and Echad Miyodea. So let's understand a little bit better what's going on in this piyut. What is going on here? We are listing all of the things that happened on Leil HaSeder, Leil HaPesach, going back in all Jewish history. It's a funny thing to do. What's accomplished by listing miracles from Avram until Haman that occurred on Pesach? So says Rav Elio Baruch Finkel, and he cites the Abar Benel, who says that on Leil HaSeder, we are chayav to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the good that He has done for us, and not just Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the Yesod of Bikurim, when a person has grown new fruits and they have new products. And now they are going to bring those new fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank Hashem for all of the produce of this year. What do? We start talking about my army Ovid Avi, my grandfather was going to be murdered by Lavan, we went down to Mitzrayim, and we were slaves there, and we cried out to Hashem, and Hashem took us out, and there was a Tzias Mitzrayim, that was incredible. Excuse me, I just brought some fruit. Why do I have to give a whole discussion here about how my grandfather and my bubby, and she met him on the boat, and then back in Europe there was a story about a donkey and a cart, and it was terrible. Who cares? The point here is to bring Bikurim. So says the Abar Benel, that's exactly the idea. The chiyuv to thank is not just on what was recently done, but whenever a person has an opportunity to thank Hashem, you should always go back in time and say, and for this, and for that, and for this thing over here, and the thing that happened last Sunday, and the thing that happened 3 years ago, always thanking Hashem. All of the earliest acts of kindness. The reason is that when a person's heart is filled with joy and thinks over what was recently done for them, it's proper to ride that wave of emotion and to think of other things that are also proper to thank Hashem for. And then he ties it back in to the Rashi in Shir HaShirim. That the reason why Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred in Chodesh Nisan is because in the springtime, the entire Brias HaOlam sings Shira to the Borei Olam. And during this time, the birds chirp and the plants are blooming and creation is out and praising Hashem. And therefore, that's the best time to take the Jewish people out. Not because the weather was good. Because it's a time where all of creation is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we have here is a foundational idea. According to the simple understanding, the miracle in the Yeshua is the reason and Hallel is the praise of the outcome. But again, as Rav Eliyahu Baruch Finkel is explaining, no. We see from Rashi the opposite. The Shira is the reason for bringing out the miracle. The miracle is the outcome because of the need to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Chodesh Nisan, as nobody says Yotzos anymore, but if you do say Yotzos in your Yeki Shul that you don't daven in, so in the Yotzos it says, by Parshas HaChodesh, Chodesh Asher HaYeshuos Ein Makifos. It is the month in which the Yeshuos are everywhere. We are surrounded by Yeshua. We are surrounded by Hashem saving us. And because this is the time where all creation sings Shira, it's the best time to bring about Yeshuos. Based on this, says Rav Eliyahu Baruch Finkel, the reason the Paitan counts all of the miracles that occurred over the last generations is obvious. Because Pesach and everything that happened and all of these events all come from the same root. Because this is a time of praising Hashem. And when Hashem did a miracle from Avram, it's because it was important to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he did it by the Jewish people, by Haman, and it happened in Nisan. It was because it was important to praise Hashem. All of these things come from a time of Yeshua. B'nisan nigalu avoseinu uvenisan asidim lihigael. This is a period. We are living in a month right now, and living in a time period, this month, where Yeshuas are ripe for the picking. Praise Hashem. Thank a Kadosh Baruch of what you have. And you will be surprised by what may come out and what Yeshuas you might see in your own life. Let's move on to Echad Miyodea. Rabbi Yisrael Druck is a very popular Maggid Shir. His Sfarim have been recently translated into English. He has tens of Sfarim in Lashon HaKodesh, of accomplished Talmud Chacham. He was a Chavrus of Chaim Kanievsky. So he writes in his commentary on the Haggadah Shel Pesach by Echad Miyodea. The Pasuk says in Bereishis, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'aros Birkiya Shemaim. And Hashem said the luminary should be in the heavens. Lahavdil ben hayom uvein laila, to distinguish between day and night. Vayu la'osos la'moadim la'inim l'shanim. It should also indicate for us the moadim and the days and the calendars and things like that. Vayu la'ma'aros Birkiya Shemaim la'hir al'aretz v'yichev. And they should also be in the sky in order to give light. So Rashi says, what does that mean? There's a lot going on here. So Rashi says, it should be for the moadim, says Rashi. This is regarding the future, that Klal Yisrael have to keep the Yontav, they'll have to keep the Chagim, and they should be counted as their date by the birth of the moon, and therefore we should know that these things are important. Now, according to the Torah is telling us that the luminaries are in Shemayim, are not just a separate between day and night, and know what time to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night, but the purpose of the sun and the moon, for us to keep Yontav, to know when Pesach is going to be, and when Purim is going to be, and Rosh Hashanah, and Sukkot. That is the point, really. Be'etzem, that's the real point. The fact that you can see through it, and lets you know when to go to sleep, and to wake up, or to wake up and to go to sleep, that's all secondary. But really, that's the main thing. The Chafetz Chaim says from this wording, that the primary function of the sun and the moon is to serve as signs for Yom Tovim, and their secondary function is to illuminate the world. That's the main purpose, to be a tool for the Jewish people. We're going to say on Seder night, that Hashem made the luminaries that are great, and His kindness is forever. And the sun that will rule during the day because His kindness is forever. And the moon and the stars will be at night. We're thanking Hashem for making the luminaries, the sun and the moon. So why do I have to say it again? If Hashem made the luminaries, I got it. So why do I have to talk about the sun and the moon? They're going to get offended. I didn't talk about them individually. I didn't call them out. Why do I have to have all three psukim? So he explains that the first expression of thanks to the luminaries relates to their primary purpose. First, we thank Hashem that we have a sun, moon, and stars so I can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu and have Yontif and know exactly when to celebrate the right holidays. The second repetition of the sun and the moon is to say also they give light and it's warm and it's cold, and thank you very much, Hashem, for those other things. With this principle, we can now understand, says Rav Druk, the importance of Echad Miyodea. We would assume that creation and the concept of numbers is important to function. So you can walk into a store and know how much does this cost, or how much am I getting ripped off, and why do eggs cost so much money, and we can have all these discussions about money and cost and numbers, so I can function as a human being in this world. Says Rav Druk, we are 100% backwards. Echad Miyodea is teaching us one thing, and that is that the only purpose of numbers is to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. The primary function of a number is to be used in Avodas Hashem. And the true purpose is for spirituality, and it's for Torah. Why do we have a concept of the number one? You should know that there's only one Bo Yolam. And why do we have a concept of the number two? That a Jew should understand what it means to have two luchos. And why is there a concept of three in the world? You should know that there's shlosh avos. And to go all the way up from 1 to 13. And all the other myriad of uses we have for numbers is a secondary function. A Jew goes through the world and their mind is primed and their mind is conditioned to see the world as a spiritual tool to serve Hashem. And therefore, when they see a number, oh, two, that's luchos, done. I don't think of anything else. I don't think of a number and I think of a basketball player's jersey. I don't think of a number and think about a significant date on the calendar. I think of a number because it is only a function to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then he says that, well, one was created to teach us about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why then do we stop at 13? Right? If the whole purpose is to teach me numbers, so why go 1 to 13? Listen to what Rav Druk says. He says, because 13 is Gematria Echad. 13 is a Gematria Echad. And therefore, once we get to 13, we say, it's all Hashem anyway. Once you get to 13, and 13 is a Gematria Echad, so a Jew says, Hashem is the source of anything. I don't have to say anything else. What else am I going to accomplish? What else do I need? Hashem is the source of everything in the world. And therefore, it's sufficient for me, and that's enough to go forward. And that's why we stop at 13, and we go all the way back to 1, that Hashem is 1, and there's no power other than Him. I happened to see this afternoon a beautiful idea in the Sefer Ezra Eliyahu. Ezra Eliyahu was Rav Eliyahu Lerman. He was a Hasidus Harav in the city of Viskat, which is a city in Poland. So he writes that we say, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uva'aretz 13 times, right? Because after you go up from 1 to 13, you end up saying that expression, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uva'aretz, you say it 13 times. So he says, what's the significance of saying that Hashem is one 13 times? So he says, the Gemara Masachas Menachos, Daf Ayin Vav, tells us that the way they would prepare the flour for the Omer offering, that very special korban, it was by running it through 13 sieves. Each sieve would be more fine and more fine and more fine until only the purest and softest flour came out for this korban. So he says that 13 times teaches us that when you chazu something 13 times, it means you have it. When you review something through 13 times over, it means that it's clear, you own it, and it's part of who you are. And now it's ready to offer to Hashem. And therefore, we have to repeat Echad Vashemayim of Aretz 13 times, so that by the end of the Seder, we've said it 13 times, it goes deep into our psyche, deep into our heart, and we can walk away saying, I know Hashem is one. And I have an understanding that Hashem is the source of everything, and everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Let's turn now to the last idea. Let's talk about Chag Gadra. I'm going to do something I haven't done before. I'm going to combine two into one because they're very similar. They're saying a similar idea, and we can join them together. Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rav of Navardik in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, and Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, the Talmud of the Talmidim of the Gra. He's called the Peshlishi, the third mouth, because he didn't hear it from the Gra, he heard it from the Gra's Talmidim. So he's the third mouth from the Vilna Gaon. They both write very similar ideas in their Haggadahs regarding what are we doing with Chag Gadra. What is the significance of this piyut, of this poem, and what we're trying to take away? So we have many, many others that are in the Haggadah over here that we discussed in the past, but this will perhaps have to be for, I don't know, the second edition, I'm not sure. So, Chad Gadja, the goat. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Chad Gadja is all about the story of Mechiras Yosef all the way until Mashiach. The relationship between Mechiras Yosef and the Haggadah is quite profound. We discussed this in the past. We begin the Haggadah with Karpas, which is actually a remez to the dipping of the coat in the blood. There's a strong undercurrent about Mechiras Yosef within the Haggadah. But he says it's a journey from Mechiras Yosef until Mashiach. The goat we're talking about is the goat that the brothers of Yosef killed to trick Yaakov into thinking Yosef was dead. The Aramaic word for zavin, which is has most Haggadahs translated as to buy. It also means to sell. And the word Abba doesn't only refer to father, but also is a lashon chashivas, of importance. And therefore, Yosef rose up in Mitzrayim to become the second in command. All of Mitzrayim calls him Avreich, right? The name of Yosef was Avreich. He was the Abba, he was the father. The brothers sold Yosef for 20 silver pieces, says the Medrash. 10 brothers divided by 20, meaning 2. So each brother made 2 zuzim off the sale of Yosef. And it means, to zavin abba bisrei zuzei, means Yosef HaTzadik was sold for 2 zuz. That's what the expression means. Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower says, this refers as a whole to the Jewish people, the tzon of Hashem, the tzon kadoshim, the holy sheep of Hashem. We have a level of guf and neshama. That's the trei zuzei. We are made up of 2 parts, of spiritual and of physical. And the tikkun of the guf is to bring korbanos, which are paid through with the machas shekel, which or the trei zuzei. The cat that ate the goat is a reference to the brothers who sold Yosef. The Aruch HaShulchan says, because the Gemara in Bracha says that if you see a cat in a place where they called a shinra, it's a sign that you'll undergo a change for the worse. The brothers obviously made a change for the worse. It was a poor decision, and the whole incident ended up being bad. Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower says the cat is known to be an animal of sheker. And the brothers engaged with the sheker, with their father, by lying about the sale of Yosef. The next step is the dog. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Medrash says that Hashem only disciplines the wicked with a stick, because the wicked are compared to a dog. And just like the dog gets struck with lashes, so too Hashem does this as well. And Paro is the dog of Mitzrayim that was struck with the staff. The stick is obviously now the staff of Moshe, hit Paro with the 10 makos, which was obviously, he was very bad to the Jews, and therefore this was appropriate for him to get hit with the stick of Moshe. Next comes the fire. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, the Yetzer Hara, to do Avodah Zarah, is considered a fire. It's a burning fire. And Bnei Yisrael gave into the Yetzer Hara, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and it burnt the staff of Moshe, meaning all the good things that the staff of Moshe accomplished was burnt up by the Avodah Zarah of Bnei Yisrael. Then comes the water. So here we have the first machlokus in the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower. The Aruch HaShulchan says the water is the Torah. Torah is a nimshal for, water is a nimshal for Torah. Anyone who is thirsty should go learn Torah. And the Torah is the water in Chag Gadah that quenched the fire of Avodah Zarah. Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower says, no, it's not the Torah. It's the tefilos of Moshe Rabbeinu that saved Bnei Yisrael. Because the pasuk says, Shifchi kamayim libeich, that my heart pours forth with water in my tefilos to Hashem. And that's what saved Bnei Yisrael. Then comes the ox. The Aruch HaShulchan says, the Medrash says the Yavanim combated the Torah with an ox. And the Medrash famously says, they tell the Jewish people, Kisvu al keren ashor, Sheilam chelek b'elokei Yisrael. They told the Jewish people, you have no chelek in the God of Israel, and that is the ox of the Greek people. And the Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower says it's Yeravim ben Nevat who put up 2 agalim, 2 oxen, to prevent them from going to serving Yerushalayim, and that eventually led Bnei Yisrael back towards Avodah Zarah as well. Then comes the Shochet. The Aruch HaShulchan says this is the Shochet who comes to shecht the ox. The Chashmonaim were the Kohanim who usually shecht oxen in the Beis HaMikdash, but here they shechted Antiochus and the Greeks. And the Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower says it is referring to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who removed Avodah Zarah as the Yetzer Hara for the Jewish people by davening we should have Yetzer Hara, and they got rid of that fire of Avodah Zarah. Then comes the Malach HaMavas. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Yitzchak Eisenhower actually agree here a little bit, but in 2 different ways. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Malach HaMavas is the Romans. The Malach HaMavas destroys everything in its way, and the Romans destroyed everything that was in their path. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Eisenhower, but you know what was the reason what was going on during the Romans? It was sinas chinam. And there's no greater malach hamavas, there's no greater destructive force than sinas chinam. And that was the undercurrent of what destroyed everything the Jewish people had. And then Chag Gadya ends off with the Kadosh Baruch Hu killing the malach hamavas, which is obviously a reference to the coming of Mashiach and the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. I'll just end with the bracha. Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein writes at the end of his Haggadah, Harachaman yizakenu b'viyas goel tzedek, v'vinyan Beis HaMikdash m'hir v'yameinu amein. We should all be zochet to see the ending of Chag Gadya, Hashem shechting the Malach HaMavas, the coming of Mashiach, speedily in our days. Amen.